privilege to read further from God's Word, and this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew. We read from the 13th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 44, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. And our focus will be the verses 47 to 52, and in light of that, we also want to read Belgic Confession, Article 37, page 24 in the back of the Psalter. We'll do that after the scripture reading. Hear the word of the Lord from the Lord Jesus. Verse 44, chapter 13 of Matthew. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence or from where has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence or from where then has this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, save or except in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. We want to look at the parable of the so-called dragnet or fishnet, as found in verses 47 to 52, under the theme, the gospel preacher Jesus speaking of the last judgment. But let's look at what is taught about the last judgment, as taught in Article 37 of the Belgic Confession here, on the basis of all scripture. And notice the many texts that are referred to in this article. The end of the article. Here we have very good and serious but blessed instruction about the last judgment. We start reading on page 24, Article 37. Finally, we believe according to the word of God, when the time appointed by the Lord, which is unknown to all creatures, is come, and the number of the elect complete, that our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven corporally and visibly, as he ascended, with great glory and majesty, to declare himself judge of the quick or the living and the dead, burning this old world with fire and flame to cleanse it. And then all men will personally appear before this great judge, both men and women and children that have been from the beginning of the world to the end thereof, being summoned by the voice of the archangel and by the sound of the trumpet of God. For all the dead shall be raised out of the earth, and their souls joined and united with their proper bodies in which they formerly lived. As for those who shall then be living, they shall not die as the others, but be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and from corruptible become incorruptible. Then the books, that is to say the consciences, shall be opened, and the dead judged according to what they shall have done in this world, whether it be good or evil. Nay, all men shall give an account of every idle word they have spoken, which the world only counts amusement and jest or a big joke. And then the secrets and hypocrisy of men shall be disclosed and laid open before all. And therefore, the consideration of this judgment is justly terrible and dreadful to the wicked and ungodly, but most desirable and comfortable to the righteous and the elect. Because then their full deliverance shall be perfected, and there they shall receive the fruits of their labor and trouble which they have borne or carried. Their innocence shall be known to all, and they shall see the terrible vengeance which God shall execute on the wicked, who most cruelly persecuted, oppressed, and tormented them in this world, and who shall be convicted by the testimony of their own consciences, and being immortal shall be tormented in the everlasting fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. But on the contrary, the faithful and elect shall be crowned with glory and honor, and the Son of God will confess their names before God his Father and his elect angels. All tears shall be wiped from their eyes, and their cause, which is now condemned by many judges and magistrates as heretical and impious, will then be known to be the cause of the Son of God. And for a gracious reward, the Lord will cause them to possess such a glory as never entered into the heart of man to conceive. Therefore, we expect that great day with the most ardent desire, to the end that we may fully enjoy the promises of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22, verse 20. I made a little plan for myself to preach in this parable series that we've been doing just on four more parables. And then we will stop this series for now. And afterwards we hope to focus more some sermons on the suffering of Jesus as Savior of sinners, come to give his life as a ransom for many. In Matthew 13, we are given seven parables of Jesus, and we want to focus this morning on the one about the dragnet or the fishnet. It is also the seventh parable, the last one in this chapter. It serves, you can say, both in its position and its content as somewhat of a climax or a conclusion of all Jesus has been saying in the whole chapter. The teaching in this parable is both very earnest and most important. The sermon theme is the gospel preacher, Jesus, speaking of the last judgment. This is also why we read Article 37, which is on the last judgment, to get the whole Bible's perspective on this most important subject. Looking now at Matthew 13, verse 47 to 52 in particular, with our stated theme, the gospel preacher, Jesus, speaking on the last judgment, will you consider with me the following three main points? One, the gripping gospel picture Jesus gives us here. Two, the gripping gospel teaching Jesus gives us here. And three, the gripping gospel aim Jesus shows us here. As Jesus teaches about the kingdom of heaven, it's something to notice how many different ways Jesus seeks to make clear what it is about and what it is like and will be like. Jesus draws from the world of agriculture and from the business world, and now also from the fishing trade, to teach and to preach about the kingdom of heaven. He means by the kingdom of heaven God's gracious reign and rule in our hearts and lives, in the hearts and lives of his people. Preaching about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus aiming to make very clear what it means to belong to him and to be living to his service and having the hope of glory for the world to come. Jesus makes plain too, in teaching about the kingdom of heaven, that his teaching is something so important to grasp and to hold on to and not to waver from. And he says that in the context of warning that all too many won't pay attention. In the last parable of Matthew 13, Jesus will bring out, nothing is more needful than truly to belong to God's kingdom. Why? Because there's a judgment day coming when there will be a great separation between the true believers from all the hypocrites and the unbelievers. With this parable on the fishnet or dragnet, Jesus again was speaking in terms that people could be quite familiar with. As many of them, you know, were either in the fishing trade themselves or they could observe people in that business. Strikingly, Matthew 13 begins with Jesus speaking parables from in a boat, speaking to people on the shore. He was by the Sea of Galilee at the time. The last parables in Matthew 13 were more to his disciples, as we learn from verse 36. But he was still close to the seaside. I say, isn't it fitting, dear congregation, that in this final parable, in his initial teaching in parables about God's kingdom, Jesus includes this picture from the world of fishing. From this by itself, don't we see, should we not learn, Jesus truly wanted to make so clear his gospel teaching to all people. How we should love Jesus, the Prince of Preachers, who would by all means come as close as possible to his audience then and now to bring his gospel message across. To find ways to teach that gospel as plainly as possible. Coming now then to the parable of the fishnet, literally the dragnet or trawl net. What is the gripping gospel picture Jesus gives us here? Well, again, we're told, giving another comparison, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like to a net, a dragnet, a trawl net, that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. It is important that we see here, that we visualize this picture that Jesus draws for us in this comparison he makes. Just like in our time, there are different ways of fishing. I don't know if we have many fishermen here. I don't hear much of any of you doing much of fishing. But you know there's the plain old way with a fishing line and a hook where you catch one fish at a time. Some people love that kind of fishing. And then there's the kind of fishing with where you take a small net or a bigger net and you put it beside the dock or beside the boat. We do it with our kids and our grandkids, and usually you just get minnows. You have those little nets. But the disciples, they were fishermen before, and they had these quite large nets they would put beside the boat and then take up again, and it would be full of fish often, and sometimes not. But now the type of fishing net that Jesus speaks of in our parable, in this passage before us, was a different kind. It referred to the largest kind of fishing net that was available then. It referred to the kind that was probably up to a half a kilometer wide and maybe 6 to 8 feet high with floats on the top to keep it high and with weights on the bottom so that it would hang like a perpendicular wall in the water. It was often used in more shallow waters, and usually the net would be placed in a distance not too far from land, and it would be between two boats, stretched out between the two boats. And the net would then be moved or drawn towards the shore, and as they came closer, the two ends would be brought together, the two boats would come together, so that whatever fish or creatures would be before that net, that wall of mesh would be caught in it. I read that in the Sea of Galilee there are at least 24, 25 different kinds of fish. All kinds of fish would be caught in it. And approaching a certain point, suddenly the fishermen would have the two ends meet and bring them and then drag the net over onto the shore with all that they caught in it, whatever was there. So can you picture this? This huge net, 6 to 7 feet deep, and maybe as wide as 15 tennis court nets, and it's sitting in the water, and it's drawn slowly to shore and brought together, and all in it are dragged onto the shoreline all of a sudden. That's how the so-called dragnet or trawl net would work. And with all those fish and creatures as a heap on the shoreline, then the fishermen would work going through the pile, their haul or their catch, one by one, throwing this one into a tub for market, and throwing this one out because it was an unclean fish, or it was a dead fish, or it was not too small of a fish, or whatever. Now says Jesus, so is the kingdom of heaven. Like this huge net that is in place and moving forward, catching all in its way. And when it's full, it gets drawn to shore and dragged up from the water. And as the fishermen would sit down and gather the good into the vessels, but throw the bad away, so says Jesus, it will be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth then and sever or separate the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What a picture Jesus gives us here. He's telling us, isn't he? Now is the gospel age, the gospel cause and kingdom of God in this world as a net. It's moving slowly but surely in many places to call and to gather God's people. Wherever the gospel is being proclaimed, this net is lowered in the waters, you might say, in the sea of humanity. And it's moving forward to the eternal shore. There are those who never yet have been called by the gospel net. There are those who quickly escape the net altogether, go their own way. But in the Christian church, surely the gospel net is lowered, and all before it being drawn to the eternal shore under the gospel call. This already is a distinction, a separation made by God. All will come to the eternal shore before the Lord. But the focus is on now those who hear the word. How favored we are when we are gathered time and again under the gospel ministry among those where God is busy fishing, so to speak, to save sinners. How we should be so grateful, dear congregation, to God that we may be under the ministry of His gospel over and over. But this gospel now, this parable now informs us that especially also among those who are under the gospel ministry, even among them, there will come one day a great separation. Jesus is referring to the day of the last judgment. One day, all will be gathered on the shores of eternity. Yes, at the end of the world, when Christ returns. When the net is full, Jesus says, meaning when all His elect have been gathered in, then the gospel net will be pulled to the eternal shore once for all. And the day of great and final separation will take place. Jesus tells us the angels will come and do as He bids them, separating all the wicked from among the just. Will be cast into hell, and the just brought to glory. Yes, and it will be just like the fishermen separating the good fish from the bad and unfit creatures when the fishing net is pulled in. Jesus' gripping gospel picture here. Do you see it? Does it grip you? This picture teaches us that while all, especially in church, yes, may be under the word, not all are necessarily truly responding to the word. The Lord knows. And however you may be and are responding now, this you need to realize: one day there is coming a day of perfect judgment and division between those who truly hear and those who will not really hear or just pretend to hear. While the gospel net is moving forward, all kinds may be under its influence, but not all are good fish, so to speak. And while not a good fish, you may presently swim around with all the others as if it's all fine. But one day there will be a righteous separation that is an eternal separation. The net will soon be drawn to shore, and then suddenly and openly the true character of every person's religion will be exposed. And then the good will inherit eternal life, while the bad will meet with everlasting doom. Who are the good? There are no good. The good here clearly are not good in themselves, but those truly saved by grace through faith, genuinely converted to God as opposed to the bad, who still live in their sins and are not born again and not truly saved at all. That's the parable. And it gives a gripping picture, surely, and one that is very somber if you only will stop to think about it. Will you take this parable to heart? Even as we sit here together now in this comfortable church building under the gospel message. The gospel dragnet of God and the kingdom of heaven. The gospel cause Jesus came to establish is moving unnoticeably often, moving slowly but surely forward, minute by minute, day by day, Sunday after Sunday, through the sea of humanity. We are all being closed in under the gospel message towards the shores of an eternal age to come and for the final separation to our eternal destination, believers to eternal life and unbelievers to eternal destruction. It's sobering, don't you find, that God is drawing in His gospel net? Are you ready for the great day when you will be cast ashore and the true separation will take place? Do you think about this at all, even? That we should each and all think about this indeed. Let's move from the gripping gospel picture Jesus gives us here to the gripping gospel teaching. Jesus would have us realize here, wouldn't he? The following. Consider the following truths Jesus would drive home to us in this parable. For one, isn't it clear that from this parable that we live now in a gospel age which will one day come to an end. The gospel will not forever be sounded. But one day the net will be drawn in once for all and forever. Yes, when the net is full. The Lord knows when that time will be. And suddenly, unexpectedly, the net will be brought to the shoreline, to the eternal shore. What if it would be in the next hour? Where would the angels put you and me? We know from other scriptures that during this gospel age, it is all important that you and I respond, that you and I respond without delay to the gospel in true repentance and true repentance of sin and in genuine faith in the Lord and in hearty devotion to Him. This is not something to put off for a future day. No, today is a day of salvation. And when saved, the call of the gospel is to stay in humble and hearty reliance and fellowship and obedience before the Lord, to keep coming back there every time again. I ask you, each one here this morning, are you right this moment, today, reconciled to God in Christ Jesus? Someone who has been truly convicted of sin and converted to God and living accordingly by God's grace day by day? Or under or before the gospel net, are you just living your life mostly unmindful of all these things, this all important matter, more indifferent to it than anything else? We're all in the sea of humanity. Christ came into this world, fallen to be the Savior. Are we hearing His gospel and following it truly? I think here too of the children and young people in church, but everyone else as well. Isn't it true how easy being raised under the gospel net, being raised in a Christian context, not really to pay much attention to the gospel call and way? You can sit in church and not really pay attention at all. You can sit in church and not really pay attention at all. You can sit in church and not really pay attention at all. If that's what you are doing, do you see how this parable of Jesus urges you not so to act, not so to respond to the gospel message and the gospel calls that you may be under over and over again? Isn't it a scary thought? That alas, it's all too true too often, as one writer suggested, people move about and within and before the net as if they were forever free. The net may touch them from time to time, as it were, even startle them sometimes, but they quickly swim away, thinking they have escaped, not realizing they are completely and inescapably encompassed by the Lord, who knows all and sees all and will allow no one to escape his searching judgment. Do you see with me, dear congregation, Jesus' earnest teaching here? With this parable of the gospel net pointing to the great and decisive day of God's judgment coming on every human being, just as that dragnet encircled those fish, each one and all. All too many people do not perceive or take seriously the kingdom of heaven. And they do not see God working in this world until the final day. They may be briefly moved, yes, by the grace of the gospel, or frightened by the threat of eternity and judgment, but they soon return to their old ways again, thinking and living busy with so much else. I mean, there's so much to do. There's so much going on in our lives. And be oblivious to the things of eternity and the last judgment. And people, on the other hand, all too many as well, they sometimes be a little stirred under the gospel. Under the gospel net, yes, even impacted, impressed somewhat, yet satisfy themselves with simply a little or a little more religious ritual to soothe their consciences. And to live on still then with no vital relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in the way of true faith and repentance, and thus are heading towards eternity for a shocking and horrible judgment. We need to take seriously Jesus' gripping gospel teaching here that this parable of the dragnet, trawl net presents to us. Jesus is teaching us here not only that the gospel net, the gospel age is a privilege of grace and it's a time of grace that will not be forever. That's one lesson. But another lesson surely is how we each need to take care and to be sure to take the gospel to heart personally and not in the end to be found among the bad fish, so to speak. That is among the wicked and unbelieving after all. Will you examine yourself even today on this all-important matter, even as I too must do? Isn't Jesus teaching here so searchingly? Don't any one of you just be indifferently presuming or assuming your salvation ever. No, but take the greatest diligence to make sure you're calling an election while it's still the time of grace. This parable makes clear all too many people, speaking now especially within the Christian church, before that gospel net, all too many people in the last day will be found out to be among those who never really took the gospel message all that seriously. Is this true of you too? Maybe. You are in church, but God sees through you how your mind and heart isn't into seeking and serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. Could it be you are a person just content with a form of religion, and as long as others see you as pretty stable and a fairly good church member, and as one who lives a generally good life, not hurting others, you figure all is okay. And God will accept you in the end. He will bring you into heaven. He has to do so, you convince yourself. But you are nothing like so many wicked and immoral, evil people out there. Oh, if that's what you think and believe, as Christ's appointed spokesman now before you, I must warn you, you are not thinking biblically and not grasping the gospel message. Jesus warns in other passages that in the last days there will be many who have convinced themselves that they should be saved and allowed entrance into heaven. Yet God will say, I don't know you, a sinner saved by grace. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. You see, being saved truly, in the end, not cast away, isn't dependent on you living a mostly good life compared to others. But it's on you being truly converted, confessing your sins and turning from them and submitting to God and His Word and believing in Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior of sinners and wholeheartedly seeking to live to His praise before God and man in private and public with heart and lips sincere. And is that how you are living? Or actually not? If the truth be told, Are you actually living in daily, ongoing rebellion against God or indifference to God and His Word? Could it be you are sitting here in church even now as one not truly listening to all God's Word with all your mind and heart, always having your reasonable excuses for that too? Are you maybe living in ongoing disobedience and rebellious carelessness as the days and the weeks and the months go by and the net draws closer and closer to the eternal shore? With this parable, Jesus would urge all who hear the gospel not so to live, but truly to respond to the gospel call and to keep responding to the gospel call, asking Jesus the Savior to save a guilty, unclean, wretched, undeserving sinner like you too, acknowledging otherwise there's just no hope for you. For no one is this an impossible call if you only come to the Savior, confessing your sin and guilt and asking Him once and again for Jesus' sake to have mercy on you, a sinner. I ask you with this parable before us, will anyone here among us just not hear, in the sense of really pay attention to this gospel call, this urgent gospel teaching of Jesus? Or hearing it, will you keep maybe just putting it aside for now, putting aside being truly converted till another day, you say, to a so-called more convenient season for you? You know who did that in the Bible? Felix under the Apostle Paul. Paul was ministering in Acts 24, verse 25 to him about righteousness and about self-control and about judgment. And Felix said, he trembled. But he said, go your way, Paul. Go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will ask for you. And history records, he most likely perished in his sins, never asking. Congregation, the net could suddenly be pulled in and you cast ashore. And when the day of separation comes, will you then be among the damned after all, rather than saved by God's grace? Jesus says in John 5 verse 40 to the unbelieving, self-righteous, religious Pharisees, "You will not come to me that you might have life." They wouldn't come. They trusted their religion. They trusted their tradition. They trusted their good works. But they were without Christ. And they perished if they would so continue. Would that be the case of anyone here among us? God forbid. Others of you, maybe wrongly perhaps, you turn this around and you say, you know, it's more the Lord is not willing. You're willing, but the Lord is not willing to save you that you might have life. But to say that is clearly false. That's wrong. Jesus came into this world to seek and to save sinners. And His gospel call is that whosoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 6:37, Jesus says even more strongly and invitingly, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out." Beloved, the gospel net is drawing closer, closer to the eternal shore. And it is yet the day of grace. Jesus tells this parable as a gospel plea for the purpose not that any should be cast away, but that all may come unto Him and be saved. This parable presses home, doesn't it? The earnestness and the divinely sincere free offer of the gospel while the gospel net is still out. At the same time, this parable is such a warning to those who satisfy themselves with a little religious activity, but have not hearts born again and not truly converted to God. As one put it, let us not imagine that just because we seem to be caught in the net of the church and because we rub shoulders daily with those who do believe in Christ, that we ourselves necessarily have the divine life stirring within our own hearts. The kingdom of God is like a net widely cast. And membership of the church does not guarantee that you will be numbered in the end among the just. Just saying you believe in God won't guarantee you'll be numbered among the just if you don't trust Jesus as your only Savior of sinners. Just say you believe in God, but not reading His Word, not following His Word. You're fooling yourself if you think just believing in God, so to speak, you'll get to heaven. Christ warns us in this parable. It's not enough to be gathered in the net and to be with others in the net under the ministry of the Word. No, the gospel teaching that Jesus would drive home here is that you each make sure, myself too, that we truly be saved by God's grace and really be under the mercy of God in union with Christ as recipient of His love, one of Christ's true and chosen sheep, calling upon Him to save a sinner like me and like you. So if you ask, well, how can I do that, Pastor, really know that I'm one of the ones that will not be cast away? The answer is by praying to the Lord for Him to accomplish this in your life and not to let the Savior go except He bless you, as He surely will, all who so come to Him. Then you don't depend on something of yourself for salvation. But you realize you have nothing to bring but your sinfulness and your vileness and your unfaithfulness and your foolishness and your wickedness, and you are wholly dependent on God's mercy and His salvation as made known in and through Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. There's nothing in my hands I bring. Us I cling. You may know you are one of Jesus' lambs when you hear His voice. And when you follow Him, and the Savior knows you as one who calls on Him and keeps calling on Him and ever depends on Him in all your needs for body and soul. You may know you are one of His when you prize Christ as that pearl of great price for which you'll sell everything, as that treasure in the field for which everything else can be given up. As long as you have Him, you have what you need, but without Him you have nothing, no matter what else you have. Well, to urge immediate and earnest response under this gospel ministry before the gospel net of God's kingdom, notice what else Jesus does. Moving this net, moving ever forward to a sudden and final righteous day of reckoning for each and all. What does Jesus further say? To drive home what He's bringing out, He's emphasizing, isn't He, further? In this parable, the lot of the unsaved. The lot of the unsaved. That's what He emphasizes. Look at the parable. That all may take truly seriously the gospel call to seek the Lord while He may be found, as the gospel net is moving forward to call upon Him while He is near. Notice Jesus expands on what happens to the wicked and unbelieving and all the hypocrites. Jesus says in verse 50, all such shall be cast into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, this picture Jesus is giving is a terrifying picture of hell. People joke about hell and scoff at the idea of hell. But what a fearful judgment will be the eternal judgment of the unsaved. I read a sermon this week by Jonathan Edwards, The Torments of Hell. The sermon was written especially to straighten out those, or to teach those who were saying hell, there's no such place as hell, or who were saying hell will just be a temporary time. No. Biblically speaking, hell will be an endless, real place of endless, conscious, just punishment in body and soul. And the worst of it is, it'll be forever without escape. Hell is described as a place of blackness, of darkness, as falling into a bottomless pit. It's a place of fire that never goes out, a lake of fire and brimstone. It's the place of eternal howling and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where Jesus also says the worm dies not, gnawing constantly at your conscience and at your body in everlasting torment in body and soul, and it will be worse than the worst you might imagine. I say again, we live in a time where the world just mocks the idea of hell. And sadly, even all too many in the so-called Christian church are minimizing and denying and refusing to speak about the biblical doctrine of hell. But Jesus spoke and taught more about hell than heaven. Hell is discounted in our times because people think far too little about the sinfulness and evil of sin before our holy God. People think far too little of the righteousness and holiness of God. And with hell being discounted and negated, people speak all too cheaply and superficially of the gospel. Jesus Christ. And in fact, they discount and deny the one and only Savior of sinners. For the heart of the gospel message is Jesus, Savior of sinners, a substitute for sinners. He endured the equivalent of the eternal agonies of hell in body and soul, deserved by us sinners. He paid that punishment as He came to save sinners. He paid that punishment in the place of sinners like us. Even as He offered to God in the place of sinners like us, the perfect, sinless life that we are called to live, but never can live by nature as fallen, depraved sinners. And the gospel message is that trusting this Jesus as only Savior and Lord, we may escape our deserved punishment of hell. For He paid that punishment already, fully, for all His elect people, as many as repent and believe on Him. And who keep on truly and steadfastly, increasingly repenting and believing on Him. But all who reject Christ and will not surrender and submit to Christ as only Savior in spirit and truth, you will perish in your sins. And on the other shore, you will appear before God then unclean and guilty and vile. No matter how educated, no matter how wealthy, no matter how many good works, without Christ, you will be forever cast away in that awful place called hell. If you are not found in Christ in the final judgment day, don't kid yourself. I tell you in Jesus' name, the wrath of God will be unleashed upon you. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, the Apostle Paul speaks of Christians who look to Jesus, who delivered them from the wrath to come. That's what Jesus does. He delivers us from the wrath to come. But if He's not your Savior, you won't be delivered. No, Jesus warns, then you will be cast away and you will be brought to that place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. With your last breath, which you never know when it will come, will your soul then be transported to the place of glory by the angels? Or will you be cast away into this other place, this most awful place called hell? The gospel net is moving forward, closer, closer to the eternal shore. Suddenly, it will be drawn in to the great day of judgment. I pray God no one here in that day among us will be cast away, forever doomed, most justly, with the terrible torment then being that you'll realize hell is exactly what you also deserve. For not really listening and paying attention to the one and only gospel message of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Don't be too late, will you, in calling upon the Lord. Calling upon the Lord Jesus to save a sinner like you. And in seeking and serving the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength while it's yet the day of grace. If we really hear this sermon, will there be anyone that dares to go outside without being saved? Here I come to our third main point still under our theme. The gospel preacher Jesus, speaking of the last judgment. We have thought about the gripping gospel picture Jesus gives us here and the gripping gospel teaching Jesus gives us here. Consider yet surely the gripping gospel aim Jesus has here. What is Jesus' aim? His desire, surely. Also in giving this parable of the dragnet, was it not and is it not clearly to press home the gospel call and to urge all to take it to heart now? Was it not to teach His disciples what they need to keep preaching and to keep realizing till the last day and to keep focusing on? The Lord is not pleased in the death of the wicked, but that all should turn to Him in spirit and truth. God is not interested in superficial religion, but heart religion. He's not looking for a form of religion, but for true conversion. Don't let it be the case that we have to say about any of us. Well, maybe, I think maybe the person was, I'm not sure, but maybe the person's a Christian. Don't live that way. Jesus calls yet in this day of grace to sinners worldwide to flee from the wrath to come. And it's when washed in His blood, His sin-atoning blood, as shed on the cross, and clothed in this perfect righteousness, that you and I can be and will be acceptable to God now and in the last great judgment to come. And Jesus' aim with this last of the seven parables in Matthew 13 was to drive home the gospel truth and the ever-present urgency of it, as told also in the six other parables in this chapter. Make sure you are hearing the Word of God. Don't be like the three seeds that where the Word didn't penetrate and bear fruit. Don't be like tares among the wheat. Be like that man who sold everything for the treasure and for that pearl of great price. We have proof that this is Jesus' searching aim, that we be really in Christ and be used to speak of Christ to others. We have proof of this in verse 51 and what Jesus says there. Jesus says to His disciples, "Have you understood all these things?" And they say unto Him, "Yea, Lord." You see, Jesus wants to apply what He's been teaching. And is that what you and I say too? "Yea, Lord, I understand." Isn't this something so all-important? Not only, but also so wonderful. When you and I can say, by God's grace, "Yes, Lord, we understand. We understand Your gospel message and Your gospel point. And we repent and believe. And how we need to repent and believe. Lord, have mercy. And Lord, we seek ever to live to Your glory and honor. We have to battle against ourselves. Lord, help us. Lord, bless us and make us witnesses of Your gospel while it's still the day of grace. Help us to spread that gospel net further while it's yet the day of grace." Doesn't Jesus teach here in the next verse, verse 52, that this is the gospel fruit of those truly saved? Then you live ever drawing from God's Word, treasures new and old, not only rejoicing in those treasures for yourself, but seeking to make them known to others while it is yet the day of grace. Well, there's an earnestness, you see that with me, about the things of the kingdom of God, that it should always be a matter of the highest priority for you and for me. If it's not that for you now, when will it become that for you? When your life is half spent? Or almost over? Or when after you're dead? No, you know then, it's too late. Jesus' parable of the dragnet is urging us to come to the Savior without delay and calling on Him, whatever the need we may have. And it's so motivating, isn't it, for us not only to believe, but that we also be fishers of men in turn, as God gives us opportunity. God, help us unashamedly to hold forth the gospel of Jesus Christ as the one thing most needful and most wonderful. And to testify to others honestly and caringly that to live and die apart from Him is to live in hopelessness and to perish in dreadful, hopeless eternity where there will be endless weeping and gnashing of teeth. I read about a man who was sitting beside a Christian in a plane, and the Christian had the Bible open, and the man was not a Christian beside him, and he said, "Do you believe everything in that book?" The man said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Well, what about Malachi 4:1? Do you believe that?" The man said, I believe the whole Bible." But he didn't know what that text was. So the man, he knew it, and he quoted it. "Behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and that day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them with neither root nor branch." And then the skeptic said, "If you Christians really believe that, why aren't you demonstrating and speaking of these things more?" It's a convicting word. I speak to myself. Lord, give me more care for the people who don't know You, who live in sin, and are not realizing we're heading to an eternity where hell will be the portion of all outside of Christ. Lord, give us as a church to be so burdened by this more than anything else, that we care for the gospel ministry, not only from the pulpit, but in our lives. Article 37 of the Belgian Confession confesses on the basis of God's Word how terrible will that separation day be on the eternal shore for the wicked and unbelieving. Wow, how wonderful beyond words for the redeemed through Jesus the Savior. Well, the gospel dragnet, fishnet is moving forward. When it's full, suddenly the end will be. Where will you be with that final and eternal separation to come. And where will you have others to be? What are you and I doing about this too? Surely hearing also this parable from Jesus, the gospel preacher, on the last judgment, you won't let this question just fall off your back as water off a duck's back, will you? Amen.